Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 81. Yes, 81. I saw the comments last week. I got the numbers wrong. It's fine. Oops. 81 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we're here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. Seth, how have you been this week?
I've been great. Thanks for asking. I had one of the best Easters a Jew could ever hope for. I had a great week. The most important thing is I got my vaccine, my Yay! First round. I did it at the Orange County Convention Center, which was amazingly efficient. I never had to get out of my car.
Awesome.
I just drove straight through. I also got to test the new facial recognition system at Ooh. The Magic Kingdom. I tested both the new system with Apple Wallet, where you can use your phone instead of a Magic Band, and the facial recognition system at the same time. I so, felt so futuristic.
So you've got
and got my jab on the same day. So obviously, everywhere I go near a 5G tower now, Bill Gates and the ghost of Walt Disney's frozen head, they are now controlling my every thought, and I'm okay with it. I'm okay.
You must get great cell reception now. That's awesome. Well, how did you feel post dose one?
I was fine. Sore arm for a day or two, but no big deal. So
that's great.
And how was your week?
My week has been good. I've actually Josh is out of town for work, and I've had peace and quiet for the past few days, and I've used it to go full spring cleaning on my house.
Are you changing the locks so we can't mess it up once,
right?
Once he goes back?
I'll make him put on sanitary shoe covers when he comes inside, and plastic gloves everywhere. It's been great. I've been able to do so much laundry and wash dishes. It's just been, I feel so old that I'm finding joy in this thing. I've been reading. It's been so peaceful.
It's called nesting. It's springtime. It's very appropriate.
Yes. And then I got some new outfits for my Kermie this past week. This was one of them.
Adorable.
Yes. So he's just going to hang out there. And then I've been catching up on my Netflix queue. I watched Defy Bloods, which was incredible and really difficult to watch in some places. And then I started The Queen's Gambit. A lot of things that I've put off for forever.
Big
and
thumbs up. You will end up binging your way through that.
I may or may not have watched 4 episodes last night. But that's all I've been up to.
Well, I got to give the thumbs up to Godzilla versus Kong. I had moderate expectations. It was my favorite of the series so far. Really delivered.
That's awesome.
Everything except the plot line with Millie Bobby Brown, which didn't really need to be in the movie. As much as I love her as an actress, had nothing to do with nothing.
I feel like all the MonsterVerse movies, you could just not have the humans in it, and it would be fine.
A 90-minute supercut of everything that's just the monsters would be brilliant. That I would love to see.
That I actually was supposed to go see that. That was going to be my first movie theater movie since last year. But Josh's work trip came up kind of suddenly, so we had to cancel the tickets. But I will go see that in a theater.
I think Black Widow is going to be mine.
Ooh. Well, they actually just put out a new trailer for that.
Yep.
And changed all of the logo and everything. Very excited. But without any further ado,
Let's get
into the news. I wish you guys could have seen the dance that Seth just did.
You have to be a special guest on this show and be logged into our green room in order to see the weekly in the news in the queue dance.
That's the only way. It's brilliant.
Only way.
If I could show you all, I would. First up, something I'm super excited about. The full main cast for Obi-Wan Kenobi has been announced, as well as a production start month. This month, actually. It's April now. Disney Plus is going to start shooting Obi-Wan Kenobi this month. It's going to be directed by Deborah Chow. She did a lot of the episodes that you probably call your favorites of The Mandalorian, starring Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen, along with a bunch of other names that you might recognize, like Joel Egerton and what's her name? Bonnie Peace? Is that how you say it?
Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru. Yeah. That's all you need to know.
Also, Kumail Nanjiani picking up his two mega franchise checks, Marvel and Star Wars, as well as Indira Varma from Game of Thrones, and Benny Safdie for some reason.
It is a very diverse cast, and yeah. They obviously did not tell us what characters these are.
No.
We can guess the ones who are recurring from the prequel trilogy are returning in their previous characters, but the rest of them, your guess is as good as mine, who these people are playing. But it's definitely like a really eclectic cast, and mm-hmm. Some great names in there, and some people, frankly, that I'm not previously familiar with. But I'm looking forward to it because, if it's up to the quality of The Mandalorian, then this is going to be a great series.
Oh, yeah. The only thing that I've seen is Moses Ingram, who is billed right after Hayden Christensen, so you know that she's important.
Mm-hmm.
She said that she plays with lightsabers on Twitter. So people are starting to wonder, is she a Jedi who survived Order 66, like Cal Kestis, or is she an Inquisitor?
It's going to be interesting to see how much of, like, Clone Wars and Rebels you're going to have to be familiar with, if it's going to draw anything from that canon, or if this is going to be entirely new, unexplored territory. The time period kind of overlaps with that episode in the last season of Rebels, with its Obi-Wan versus Darth Maul Part 2, the rematch. and since Darth Maul does not appear to be in this, I guess we're not retreading that territory.
Yeah.
What I really want to know is if Hayden Christensen is playing, is he playing Darth Vader or Anakin Skywalker or both? Are we seeing him in flashbacks? Are we going to see him in the suit with the helmet off? Is he going to be trying to imitate James Earl Jones's voice? What exactly are we going to see here?
I've thought about this a lot, and it just baffles me that they would try to bring him back just to put him in a suit and you never see his face. Because otherwise, like, why wouldn't you just say Darth Vader and then you have Matt Taylor and James Earl Jones or something, you know? Mm-hmm. Why would you bring back Hayden Christensen if not to show his face? Maybe we get to see some flashbacks of him in Clone Wars armor, which we haven't seen in live action before, but would look really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping at least that we'll get to see Hayden's face, and we also might get to see a 10-year-old Luke. Maybe
that would be a little
weird.
It might be fan service, but I'd like to see it. As long as it isn't a creepy de-aged Mark Hamill's head paid into some, you know, CGI body, that would not be right.
Yeah, no, that would be really weird. I've also seen people think that Benny Safdie is going to be the son of Watto. I really hope so. Oh, that's brilliant. I guess we'll have to see. It will stream exclusively on Disney Plus as a limited series. I'm not sure. I think it was supposed to come out in 2022 or 2023, but with COVID, I'm not sure if those mm-hmm. dates are still
I think the most important news that I heard recently, I believe we have confirmation that Jar Jar will not be in the show.
Yes, yeah. Sweet Jar Jar. Misa sad. Over at SeaWorld Orlando, Sesame Street's Julia has made her debut for Autism Acceptance Month. Now, she's appeared at other SeaWorld and Sesame Place parks before, but this is her debut at SeaWorld Orlando.
So Julia was added to Sesame Street a little bit after my time.
Yeah.
I stopped watching the show
a few years ago.
Yeah. But she's a character that was added a few years ago, a four-year-old child who has autism, who's taught Elmo and Abby Kadabi about being on the spectrum. And so there's a socially distanced or physically distanced meet and greet that she participates in right now. And hopefully that'll continue past the end of April.
Yeah. I love seeing the characters, especially Ernie. I think he just got a new, like, really cute button down with a bunch of rubber duckies on it. I love seeing them in the parks. I think they're so cute and sweet. I think this is a great addition. More Sesame Street news. Over at SeaWorld San Diego, Sesame Street Bay of Play is now open with some modified offerings.
Yeah, so the Sesame Street area is at the San Diego park, because that park right now is still operating as a zoo and not a theme park. I believe the rides are not currently open, though I think that's going to change during the month of April. But I think we're going to talk to someone pretty soon who can give us some more information about that.
Yes.
but what there are a bunch of dance parties, meet and greets. There's a really neat animal presentation. I would wish that RC World would have an animal presentation involving Muppet characters.
I think that's pretty cool.
and the one that I would be into is the story time with Big Bird.
See, I was thinking the Big Bird's Bistro with the specialty smoothies.
Yeah, I think he puts bird seed in everything.
Bird seed.
Just so many bird seed smoothies. Bird seed, and then like with the worms are in the protein shakes. So.
It's protein.
I'm just kidding.
I mean, flax seed. They could put flax seed in it.
Totally.
And say it's bird that seed, and that would be themed
little,
and
little wheatgrass.
Yeah, wheatgrass is so gross. Over at Tokyo Disneyland, their final phase of the Fantasyland expansion, the Fantasyland Forest Theater, has opened, and it's very pretty.
Yeah, the facade alone looks gorgeous. I think they might have put more work into that facade than they did to half of New Fantasyland at Walt Disney World. I'm exaggerating a little, but... You know, Tokyo Disneyland is known for really elaborate shows, to the point where I know if I ever do get over there to Tokyo Disneyland, I'll probably never get to see this show because there's a daily lottery. You've got to use the app now. It used to be a physical fast pass machine that you'd use, but now it's in the app. But basically, you know, only a fraction of the guests who are in the park on any given day are allowed in to see this show. At least it's a lottery system, which I guess is more fair than, you know, having to rush there and be the first one there. But, it's called Mickey's Magical Music World. And like all of these big stage productions at Tokyo Disneyland, it's going to be packed for every performance because they spare no expense.
Nope. Yeah. And I've seen videos of people racing to go get those passes.
Yeah, at least you can get it through an app now.
Yeah, but then I'm having flashbacks of Rise of the Resistance. Maybe one of these days.
Someday.
Over at Universal Orlando Resort, we finally got a look inside the new Universal Studios store.
Yes, they actually announced that it would be a studio store, I don't know, about 6 days before it opened or so. Maybe a week.
Yeah, maybe.
But This combined what used to be a series of stores along that you might kind of find in any mall across the country. That, you know, there was a Fossil where you could get watches and wallets, and there was a Fresh Produce clothing store, and they were all fine retail establishments. But I think a lot of people most used them as a cut through, because you could sort of shortcut from the I guess the Quiet Flight surf shop straight through the Island clothing store and get from the parking garage to the studios a little quicker. That was pretty, I think much half of the people who walked in there, that's the only reason they went.
Yeah, I always felt really bad.
So now it's the biggest studio store on Universal Orlando property. And I don't know, I think maybe some people were hoping it was going to be really super themed, that was going to be, you know, I don't know, have a lot of character. It looks like a really nice, clean, upscale department store. If you saw what they did to World of Disney at Disney Springs, how they kind of, you know, made it all look sort of modern and trendy industrial and all particularly Disney, that's sort of what they did here. But there are some really neat themed touches. I like the floating candles on the ceiling in the Harry Potter section. That's a nice touch. There's a section above where you can pick out wands, where they have sort of constellations with little LED lights in the ceiling. My favorite, though, is that along the wall, high up, are pieces of either engineering drawings or blueprints from all sorts of attractions. Pieces, bits of Hogwarts, but also ride vehicles. There's the ride path interior from Cat in the Hat. There's some really cool things. And then this big circular video screen right over the checkout area. They play clips from different rides, including a very short clip from the Velocicoaster, which is it's official POV footage, which is brand new, hot off the presses.
Yeah.
And there's a great big candy section. It's clean. It's easy to navigate. I am happy to say that they have a great big Velocicoaster section. And
nice.
I picked up my Velocicoaster hat. You know, what could go wrong?
A lot, I'm sure.
So I'll be happy to wear that to the park and hopefully not lose it on an attraction.
I was just going to say that. Make sure you take off your hats and best remove them. That's
good. The other thing that I thought was kind of cool is they've got this wall of T-shirts. And these are kind of, some are a little edgy. They are definitely not your typical old-fashioned Universal Studios T-shirts. I don't think I've seen some of these inside the parks before. Some of them are kind of creative.
I just see the Shrek dad bod.
Dad bod. Yep. Yep. That's one.
And sexy bald guy.
Yeah.
Which I assume is Minions.
Yep. You know, it definitely, it is a one-stop shop. If you want, you can get pretty much anything from inside the parks that you would want in there. And if you can't find it there, you can just go right across the courtyard to what used to be the studio store, which is now the Legacy store. And it's like half store and half museum now. Highly recommend checking that out. They've been adding more and more stuff every day, and it's really well done.
Just make it a museum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a museum that makes money, which is their favorite kind of museum.
Isn't that what theme parks are? Museums that
make money? I think that's what Walt said, right? And so he wanted Disneyland to be a museum that makes money.
Yeah. That's what that quote says.
I think
says.
That's exactly what that quote said.
Big news for you Epcot Festival fans. Diet Epcot is not long for this world because the full Epcot International Food and Wine Festival is back on July 15th.
Oh, I hope this is true. I'm trying not to get my hopes up yet because They've cut the taste of off of the event. It's no longer the taste of the festival. It's the festival. But I don't believe we yet have details on concerts.
Nope.
And tastings and seminars and the kind of, you know, more intimate, close-up events that, you know, made the festival more than just drink around the world.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see more marketplaces back. Though I kind of hope they can still use the World Showplace, because I really liked having that indoor area that was like a best of. The Eat to the Beat concert series, I think, is a big part of making the festival the full festival. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited to see when the details on that will be announced.
Yeah. The Disney Parks blog said soon.
Soon.
But we don't know when soon is. Soon. They did mention that there is a new cheese trail thing.
Yeah.
Emile's Fromage Montage.
Well, I tell you that these passport trails have been very successful in getting me to spend money on items that I otherwise wouldn't. Because there's always like three things on there that I definitely would have tried anyway. There's one thing on there that I might not have tried, but okay, I'll go for it. And there's always one thing on there that I would never decide to pick by myself. But you get to that point and you want the free dessert.
Yep.
So you wind up getting that last thing. And then you hopefully get the Dole Whip. I'm going to be bringing my lactate pills for sure for this cheese trail.
What if the grand prize is more cheese?
Hopefully the grand prize is a mouse, because you now have so much cheese, you need someone to feed it to.
They will also return with Remy's Ratatouille Hide and Squeak, where you find the little statuettes of Remy hidden throughout World Showcase.
I think they're going to just stop putting the year on the cards.
Yeah.
And make it just a sticker so they can, you know, because they bring it back.
Every year.
It's been popular because, I mean, it's popular. It's
yeah. And then, of course, merchandise, including a new festival collection with a spirit jersey, baseball cap, and then the only performances that they've teased so far are mm-hmm. from the traditional Epcot performers, Voices of Liberty, Mariachi Cobre, and the Jammin' Chefs.
Which are all great, but these guys have been really like pulling more than their weight for Epcot Entertainment since the parks reopened. Especially, I feel like Mariachi Cobre and the Jammin' Chefs, Voices of Liberty came back not too long ago for the Arts Festival is when they finally brought them back.
Yes.
But they've been working hard and they need some help. Let's get this more. And the pianists, Carol Stein and the other pianists, they've also been working real hard. They need some more entertainment to take some of the load.
Bring back Boys to Men. They'll come back.
Yes.
Some big news that I'm sure we'll speak more on later. But
absolutely.
We finally have an opening date for Universal Studios Hollywood, and it's April 16th, which if you're listening to this on the 5th, that's only 11 days from now.
Right. And I feel like this is a pattern where Disney announced something first, but it's not going to happen for a while.
Yeah.
And then after Disney makes their announcement, then Universal comes in and says, we're doing that same thing in a week and a half. So, you can't go to Disneyland until the very end of April, but starting April 16th, you are going to be able to visit Universal Studios Hollywood once again. And if you've got an annual pass, which has not been canceled at Universal, you can use that starting on the 15th. I think it's pretty cool. Anyone who had an annual pass that was valid through, I think, the 15th, are going to be eligible for bonus days, where on select days through May, they can use it and it doesn't count against their pass or anything. Like if they had bought a pass and hadn't activated it yet, they can use it and it doesn't count against their pass being activated. They're being really cool about this with annual pass holders, which I think they're really, you know, they're trying hard to get some goodwill from annual pass. Say, you know, come to come and join us. And the coolest thing, of course, is that one completely brand new attraction and one upgraded new attraction, which I was really excited to see Secret Life of Pets off the leash. It was supposed to open like pretty much the day everything shut down. And I've been dying to see this. So that's really exciting. Universal Studios needs dark rides, family-friendly dark rides that everyone can enjoy so badly. And this is not 3D. This is not screens and simulators. This is like, you know, 60-something animatronics and sets and some cool projection mapping and face identity technology. But it's just like, it's just an old-fashioned Omnimover style dark ride, which that park really has always needed.
And you get to turn into a puppy.
Absolutely. I wish it would let me turn into a cat. I would rather turn into a cat than a puppy, but
maybe
just
because
it's canine biased, that's fine. That's fine.
Write a letter to Universal Guest Services.
They see my letters coming and they just go straight into the incinerator.
File 13.
I also think that it's kind of weird that Jurassic World opened once before without really being finished. But this is like, that was like the beta version of Jurassic World. Now we're getting the finished, they've patched it.
So it's like Cyberpunk.
Project Red was working on this. They finally patched it and it runs with all the intended features, including a really cool finale with what I hear is an amazing animatronic Indominus Rex. I was rewatching our video, the POV, and there's a lot of really neat things. I kind of like, I know a lot of people hate it, but I kind of like the digital aquarium at the beginning. And that blue animatronic just before the finale is amazing. But the Indominus who was in there originally is just kind of like a head that kind of comes out a little bit and chomps a little. Not all that scary.
It's like bird on a stick.
Exactly. Like... yeah. A little better than that, but he ain't no Carnotaurus. Let's put it that way.
Oh yeah.
From what I hear, this thing's going to really wow people. That's, I'm excited.
I hope they release some pro shot of it. So I would love to see it.
Yeah. And I can't wait to emigrate to California and become a citizen someday and be allowed to see it in person.
Yeah. Just like Disneyland, you are not able to visit Universal Hollywood unless you are a California resident. Mm-hmm. So don't book any flights anytime soon.
Now, I was looking through Universal's website tonight, and they do have a frequently asked questions. They have details on their health and safety protocols, which are very similar to what we see in Orlando, with the addition of, obviously, no one from outside of California is allowed to buy a ticket or attend. I don't think we have complete details yet on what attractions are going to be open, where they're going to be closed. We know some, including Forbidden Journey in the Harry Potter area, and Transformers, Revenge of the Mummy, obviously Jurassic World and Secret Life of Pets will be open. In terms of shows, I've heard that the special effects show is not going to run. I don't know about Waterworld. I hope Waterworld comes back, because that's the greatest show ever. I guess the website right now says check on the day to see what's opening. And I have a feeling that it'll probably be a back and forth with the state regulators and the safety teams. Something like, I don't think that the Simpsons ride or the Despicable Me simulator are currently on the operating list. So that they might, I don't know, have to do something before that happens.
Yeah, they said that those areas would be open, but it didn't say that the rides would be operating.
Yes, they're very careful in the way they phrase that. So
yeah.
It's going to be a work in progress. And as we've said before, if you are one of the lucky people to go there, especially on that 15th for that annual pass holder day, don't go in there, you know, to bash it, to make life hard for the employees. They've had a really rough year. It's going to take time for things to be back to normal. So be patient, please. Be nice.
Yeah, be nice or else we'll be very disappointed.
Or we won't be able to have nice things.
Exactly.
Bringing you your top news story of the week, whether from your backyard or from around the world, it's time for the main attraction.
This week we are joined by a very special guest. Please give a round of applause to Eric O.
Hello and good evening.
No, Eric, you don't applaud yourself. You don't. We applaud. Why not? We applaud you.
Oh well, I applaud myself tonight. That's what's gonna happen. Well, anyway, thank you so much, Brittany and Seth, for having me on the podcast tonight. As you see right now, I am currently in a remote location within the Universal Studios Hollywood theme park. It's behind me. Can't say, but yeah.
Those hills look suspiciously video game themed to us.
Yeah.
Very much so. I agree with you there.
Huh. Interesting.
So for anyone who is listening who does not know you, Eric, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background? What have you done in the past? What do you do now? Give us a little bit, get to know you.
Yeah, so once again, my name's Eric. I've been pretty much a theme park fanatic my entire life. It was about 10 years ago that I started becoming like a theme park blogger. I started out with this really small blog, and then that went away. Then I moved over to the wonderful team at Orlando Informer. I was given the fortunate opportunity to run California Informer. I was able to help plan vacations for families who came to visit Universal Studios Hollywood. I graduated from that, and now I'm now a proud team member here at Universal Studios Hollywood. And that's where my journey is so far.
Yay.
Excellent.
Yeah, how exciting.
And so, you know, you don't have to go into any personal detail, but what's it been like as a theme park employee in California with no theme parks operating over the last year?
It's definitely been a very unprecedented time, as we're all saying these days. Colleagues from the Disneyland Resort to Knott's Berry Farm, Six Flags Magic Mountain, I know these friends. I get to know them. They're all very excited about the news that the governor's office has allowed theme parks and amusement parks to reopen within their red tier, within the blueprint for a safer community here in the state of California. Things are moving at a rapid pace. Lots of team members are being called back to Big Magic or Epic Thrills. Well, all I guess in California only.
Well, so as a California resident, you have been able to attend some of these events that have been happening in the last few weeks. So why don't you give us a rundown of what are some of the theme park reopening events in Southern California you've been able to go to so far?
So let's start the journey back to the middle of summer. So Knott's Berry Farm started out with their all-new Taste of Calico event, where guests pay $25. It included admission and 5 tastings of choice within the Calico area Knott's Berry Farm. Guests could try all the boysenberry goodness possible, including like a boysenberry stuffed churro, boysenberry barbecue wings, pretty much anything boysenberry related. There was some live entertainment they were able to bring on, such as like a magician, live DJ. And it grew from there into these Halloween, Christmas events, now the Taste of Boysenberry Festival. Those events have been absolutely fantastic. It's been nice to be able to get out of the house, eat food, of course. Lots of it the past few months. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun.
I got to say, I'm a little jealous. I've been to Knott's Berry Farm as a theme park. And the rides are okay. I mean, the timber log ride and the mine train are both great, but I could easily spend a day there just eating and seeing the live entertainment, and being able to do that for just $25. That sounds like a great deal. And Knott's Berry Farm was kind of the first one to come out of the gate and offer that sort of thing. So I think they got a lot of attention for doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then following the reopening of Knott's Berry Farm for Tasty Calico, SeaWorld in San Diego reopened with SeaWorld Zooday's Barbecue and Brews, where it's basically the same concept, where guests got 5 tastings of barbecue and brews. It also included all their outdoor animal presentations, Orca Encounter, Sea Lions Live, and Dolphin Days, and all the outdoor animal exhibits. Mm-hmm. It's SeaWorld, I feel, they offer a great product. Gonna let you know there. SeaWorld offers a really strong product. They've been able to add their seasonal events, such as their popular Christmas celebration, lots of lights, some entertainment, and then right now they're celebrating spring break. Mm-hmm. And SeaWorld San Diego is currently the only theme park in California showing fireworks.
Mm.
They are showing them nightly through April 11th and every Friday, Saturday, as well as Sunday of Memorial Day weekend through May 30th. So if you want to spend a weekend in San Diego, SeaWorld's your place to go. You'll be able to enjoy all the animal exhibits, including the R is for Rescue Sesame presentation, where Elmo and Abby Kadabi co-host the show. They bring out some cool animals. It's great for the little kids.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I miss fireworks.
I know. I miss them too. Seth very much knows that nighttime spectaculars are my favorite thing at this theme park.
Absolutely. And you're a big fan of the one here at SeaWorld Orlando, the electric
Ignite.
Ocean, which I'm not sure. Hopefully that'll be able to come back someday. But
I mean, SeaWorld seems to be really pushing things to get guests to enter the theme park. Yeah.
You've been to Six Flags, right?
Yes, I was there when they reopened on the 1st, and I was there about 6 hours ago.
Oh, wow.
6 hours ago.
6 hours.
I literally, after Six Flags, I drove over to Universal Studios Hollywood for Tasty Universal, did a podcast with the view behind me. Fantastic. It's a great way to kick off my week.
So, wow. A busy day.
Put on a lot of miles.
Yeah. So I came back from Oregon about 2 weeks ago. The next day, I went straight down to San Diego. Just so you guys know, I live pretty far from San Diego. I'm about 150 miles away from San Diego.
I say that's a drive. Yeah.
Yeah. So I love these parks. I'm willing to spend the gas.
Obviously. And California gas is not cheap.
Mm-mm. No, right now California is in that summer blended gas, so we're looking at average $4 a gallon.
So I'm gonna ask you an investigative journalism question here.
Sure.
Six Flags before the pandemic is that especially on opening days, operations not necessarily the greatest, staff maybe not as well trained as some of the bigger theme parks. How did you see Six Flags handle operations under the new restrictions?
Well, gonna start out with opening day, April 1st. Six Flags opened with some fanfare, I guess. There was no big press event like what Disneyland Paris did when he reopened, but it was this process was very smooth. So the guest experience starts at the parking tolls. From there, you will pay your parking. If you don't have a season pass, which is currently $25 a car, but if you have a valid season pass or membership, you'll be able to get your free parking. If you have the highest tier, the Diamond Elite, you'll be able to reserve your preferred parking, which I got. I parked right in front of the main gate, just walked pretty much out of my car into the main grounds. Then every other theme park is pretty much similar. There's temperature screenings where if you have a temperature of 100.4 degrees Fahrenheit, You won't be allowed in, but Six Flags Magic Mountain does have paramedics on site for a secondary screening. Okay. Following there, team members are checking your reservation. With Six Flags compared to other Disney parks and such, they have time entry starting from park closing or starting from park opening to every 15 minutes until 1 hour before park closing. Wow. So when you go to Six Flags Magic Mountain, Six Flags make sure to let me know that you cannot arrive early. You can arrive anytime after your reservation. So my reservation for today was at 12:15.
Okay.
I arrived then. They did pretty much what I mentioned earlier. Got in the park, and it was pretty slow. I was going to say, compared to opening day, today was kind of rough. Obviously, today is Easter Sunday, so it's a little busy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Team members on opening day, they're very out there to ensure that they enforce physical distancing. They have team members in the main entry plaza with big blue signs that says please maintain the social distancing. They call it social distancing. I call it physical distancing. That's
right.
Just so you guys know, they both mean the same thing. Then on some of the on all the attractions, they actually have team members in the queue to ensure that you are following the 6-foot guidance that the CDC recommends. They are big. They're small yellow dots, kind of hard to see compared to the big ones you see at Disney Universal. They have team members to ensure, hey, make sure you stand over here. It was smooth. Nice. Now with the California COVID-19 guidelines, they bar any indoor queuing.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
They only have basically one ride that has an indoor queue. That is Justice League Battleform Metropolis, which is at numerous other Six Flags parks around the world. All queuing is outside. So from that experience, they of course had us wait outside. Then they pulsed us in to ensure that we don't wait in line. We each got our own vehicle, did the ride. It was fun. They do sanitize the rides every 30 minutes to an hour. They don't sanitize after every cycle. Not sure why, but that's Six Flags. And from there, they basically just went through the day, had fun. I also had a flash pass, which is your version of a virtual queue. If you're familiar with Universal's Volcano Bay, it's same exact wristband. An employee will tap on your band to ensure that your turn at your time it is. But with Six Flags, they're actually touchscreens. So these bands, you can tap on it. You can reserve any ride. It'll give you a countdown of 10 minutes away. Your time is up. And I can book as many as I want throughout the day. Smooth opening day. Food. They had introduced mobile order for the first time at the theme park. Only three restaurants opening day. Johnny Rockets, Rascals, and Katie's Kettle. Essentially, all those places serve burgers and french fries.
Okay. So if you want burgers and fries, you're set.
Yeah.
Exactly. But they had other restaurants open that weren't using mobile order. So talking about that, there's a bit of difficulty of guests maintaining physical distancing since not all these restaurants had mobile order ready to go opening day. So queues filled out onto the streets. People weren't being physically distanced. Because, you know. But Six Flags tried to push mobile order. They have these big signs in front of the restaurant saying mobile order available here. Well,
cool.
That didn't happen. But yeah. Then that was pretty much my Six Flags day. Some hiccups there opening day, but I was pretty impressed with Six Flags Magic Mountain reopening under a restricted capacity of 15% capacity. But starting tomorrow, they'll be able to bump up to 25% within the orange tier.
With 15%, what were wait times like for the rides?
So the most popular rides, Twisted Colossus, X2, and their brand new coaster, West Coast Racers, were averaging wildly from a 45-minute wait to a 90-minute wait. It varies. Six Flags is notoriously known, as I said earlier, for having inefficient operations, so that's where some of the long wait times were. But most of the other coasters were running multiple trains, so the queue was pretty efficient.
Oh, good.
Cool.
Good. And, of course, you must have been back to the Disneyland Resort. Have you been able to attend the Taste of Disney events?
Yes, I visited Touch of Disney.
Sorry, Touch of Disney. Taste of Universe. Everyone else is a taste of something. This is a touch of.
Yeah, so I visited Touch of Disney the day after I went to SeaWorld. I got there in the mid-afternoon. I didn't have any issues. Parking, there's no line. No line to get in through temperature screenings as well as park entry. One thing that I did not know is they make you walk the tram route. And it was about 90 degrees that day.
Oh, no.
So once you get out of the parking garage, you go down, there's no tram.
Mm-hmm. So that's a hike.
That is a hike.
A little over a quarter mile long just to get into the park itself. But then the nice thing was on the tram route, they had some of these photo ops with it as you were walking down. Speakers playing the Esplanade music, so the magic was there. Definitely. Once you stepped out of the garage, Esplanade was piping all the way through from when I left my car all the way inside Disney California before. Touch of Disney. Yeah. And of course, the food. Gonna let you know, if you visited the Food and Wine Festival in the past, you may know that the portions are a little tiny. The ticket was $75. And it included a $25 tasting card.
$25 probably didn't go very far, did it?
No. I had anticipated all these items to be $5, but no.
No.
A lot of these items were charging between $7 to $9 an item.
What?
So with my tasting card, I was only able to get 2.5 items. The rest I had to pay for.
Right. What was the best thing you got to try?
It was the pickle thing, wasn't it?
No. Oh, we don't talk about the corn dog.
No. I saw the cross section of the picture and I thought it had to be an April Fool's joke.
With peanut butter.
I saw a picture of the corn dog. It looked more pickle than a hot dog. Why?
Right. I don't know.
But going back to your question, the favorite item I had there, for me, I'm always a classic. I like the tomato basil and grilled cheese from Jolly Holiday. That's always a classic for me.
Any Jolly Holiday. Did they have macaroon? Did they have Matterhorn macaroons?
They did not.
I've missed those. That's the first thing that I'm going to get when I get back to Disneyland is a Matterhorn
macaroon. That was probably my favorite thing. I also tried this jalapeno bacon peanut butter brittle.
Ooh.
What?
The jalapeno bacon peanut butter brittle.
That's a lot of things. Okay.
Yeah. It was very savory. But I could not finish it because I can forget how tough brittle it is on your teeth.
Yes.
Then one of the most popular items was the pepperoni pizza egg rolls.
We have pepperoni pizza egg rolls from the cart in Adventureland.
Yeah, that's right.
And I do always see a line for them, and I'm never sure why. I miss the egg roll flavored egg rolls. Those are my favorite egg rolls, the ones that taste like egg rolls.
Yeah, I was a bit perplexed by that pepperoni pizza. Yep. Rolls.
We also have cheeseburger ones, I believe.
Oh, the cheeseburger ones. People go crazy for them.
Yep.
Talking about a cheeseburger, totally random. Many years ago when Simpsons were Springfield opened here, we had a cheeseburger flavored donut.
Ew. That sounds gross.
It would have been really big in Japan. They would have loved it.
The frosting was nacho cheese.
Oh. It's definitely not my cheese.
No, not cheese.
No, I
definitely not my cheese.
But yeah, going back to Disney, food was okay. It was palpable, but I was mostly there for the photo pass photographers. They had a lot of them roaming around the park.
Mm-hmm.
Got some great photos in front of Pixar Pier. Then they also have magic shots, which I didn't know they were happening. So I got a picture. Over at the side entrance to Cars Land, where you have that vista of the whole Canyon. It's great. My magic shot was the blue helicopter Dinoco guy from Planes, or is it from Cars? One of those two movies. That was fun. And had to end my night, of course, by meeting some characters. I saw Joy from Inside Out.
Nice.
I didn't see Mickey Mouse or Minnie Mouse there, nowhere to be found when I was there.
Huh.
Although I heard they were meeting at the Silly Symphony Swings from far away, so that might be why I haven't seen them.
Right.
And it's just nice to be back in Disney Park. They have these special versions of Disney songs from, like, the Disney Mania albums. Remember those?
Oh, classic. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, my God. It just brought me back to waiting for Fantasmic at Disney Hollywood Studios, hearing all those pop versions of Disney songs. It kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah.
I know. I didn't do any shopping. Just I spent a lot of money as is already, and I don't need to spend more on Disney.
Sure.
So since you had to spend more than you had anticipated on food, would you consider it worth it? I know at this point it's sold out and then they're opening at the end of the month, but
I feel like if you're mostly focused on meeting the characters, shopping, and getting pictures, that might be some value. But if you're there strictly for the food, you might be a little disappointed. $25, and it was really hard to enter it onto the app, because if you have either Disneyland app or my Disney Experience app, you know how you can scan those gift cards for Touch of Disney? They had you manually enter in the entire 16-digit number every time you wanted it. So
that's they save money. They, so many people give up, they don't get their $20.
My review for Touch of Disney was, It was okay.
That was very diplomatic.
Yeah.
So last but not least, is where you are right now, which is Universal Hollywood. And I know you might have to give us a little disclaimer before you tell us about the reopening events there.
Yes. So while I am a employee of the theme park, I'm unable to talk on any specifics about rumors or any disparaging comments about this park, so gonna leave it at that. But
all opinions are your own and do not reflect the official policy of Universal Studios.
I do not.
Everyone's
So as you see behind me, I'm here at this remote location in the theme park. I visited Tasty Universal on Thursday, where got to pretty much roam the entire park grounds. They had essentially all the restaurants open, minus their grab-and-go restaurants, Palace Theater Cafe, Studio Cafe, and Panda Express right next to me. What a bummer.
Oh well.
But what's nice about the event is the environment is very relaxing. Because if you've been to Universal Studios Hollywood in the past, or in Orlando, you know how busy the experience can be. Yeah, the whole atmosphere can be a little bustling. But with Tasty Universal, it's very laid back. They have characters here. You can meet the Transformers, Optimus, Bumblebee, and Megatron. Optimus Prime is speaking with guests, so you can have a full-on conversation with him.
The interactive one. Very cool.
Yeah. We also have Donkey Meeting in his travel agent office. He has retired. Yeah, he has retired his waffle cart. He's now a travel agent.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Gotta go where the money is.
Yes. Then Hello Kitty was meeting right in front of the Animation Studio store, and you can meet a few minions. So they kind of sprinkle throughout the park.
Now, I heard rumor that the shop attached to Secret Life of Pets was open. Did you get to peek in there?
Yes. So the pet store, which is the exit gift shop to the Secret Life of Pets off the leash, was open shortly before Universal Studios Hollywood closed on March 14th. But I was able to sneak in there by like 3 days before it closed. It's a really cute shop. Essentially, it's like an animal shelter.
Aww.
Where you can adopt your own puppy. So,
if
you aren't familiar with what the Secret Life of Pets ride is about, essentially, you are a puppy and you're on your way to find your forever homes. It's a really cute story, and the exit gift shop immediately follows that. So with the adopt a pup, it's kind of similar to like a Build-A-Bear, where you pick out the parts, you get a name it, they give you a certificate saying this is adopted on this day. Aww. I don't have one yet, but probably should come home, you know? Always adopt.
Right.
Go to animal shelters. It's very important.
Do they have cats? Do they
only
have
only dogs
cats?
Right now? Only dogs.
I'm going to lead a protest. I'm gonna lead a protest. The other thing that I'm really excited about is the new Minions Cafe. There's an updated restaurant near the Despicable Me ride. Mm-hmm. Have you gotten a chance to try any of the food there?
Oh, yeah. I tried a whole bunch of things there. So if you've been before, this used to be Gru's Lab Cafe. Prior to that, it was Cyber Girl from Terminator 2 3D. Mm-hmm. So it's always been a restaurant space. With Minions Cafe, they've totally redone the entire restaurant. They made it more kind of pop art. The outside is very, it's a very Art Deco kind of theming out there. Yeah, they have like spray painted that the Minions have done. They spray painted their own building. Oh, brand new marquee. Fun. It's a neon sign, so it looks great at night.
Oh, that's cool.
Their menu is pretty brand new. They previously had this grilled cheese pulled pork sandwich that was pressed with a Gru logo stamp that was kind of burned into the bread. I miss that. They don't have that anymore. Now they have a new version. They have a grilled cheese on a sourdough, pretty classic.
More cheese. What is with these people are trying to kill me with the cheese?
All cheese and no cats.
And there's also a grilled cheese with meatballs on a sourdough.
Oh, okay.
Supposedly, when the park reopens, the regular grilled cheese will come with a side of banana barbecue sauce.
Okay, I want to know what... I've had mango barbecue. Like? I've had peach barbecue. I don't think I've ever had banana barbecue.
No, I haven't either. I'm curious to try it out. If
you're our designated taste tester on that one.
Yes, if you see my adventures at Halloween or Horror Nights, I will pretty much eat anything. Seth knows this really
I can
well.
Testify. I can testify.
Oh, yeah. Then you also have a lot of cute... You also have cute desserts. They have a unicorn cupcake. It's essentially a confetti cake.
It's so fluffy.
It's sprinkled. It's gold dusted, so it kind of sprinkles.
Oh.
It's a pretty classic one.
All right.
Yeah, they also have these loaded nachos, chili cheese tots.
The ramen bowl.
Yes, I'm all about. I want to try the ramen bowl. There, as far as I know, no place to get a good bowl of ramen in any of the California theme parks.
Yes.
And you think there would be?
Yeah. So during Lunar New Year at our park, we had a pork ramen bowl that was delicious.
Yum.
They had pork ramen. They also have pho. They also had an option too in a theme park.
Nice.
I mean, that's pretty unprecedented. Yeah. And as well as, yeah. Sorry about the interrupting.
Too late, you're live.
I'm leaving it in.
It's real life right there.
Show what's gonna go on.
All right. Well, before he gets, Eric gets evicted by security.
Want to add about a little bit about my SeaWorld trips. That's gonna be my last thing. If you know me, I love SeaWorld San Diego. You don't have to bash me for the whole animal cruelty thing. I totally understand that. But, of course, SeaWorld's open as a zoo. Only animal presentations. Right now, Seven Seas Food Festival. That's also going on as well. Good food. Lamb sliders. Mm-hmm. A lot of lamb at SeaWorld for some reason.
Well,
for some reason.
They're not serving whales, so.
Yeah. And all the drinks you can get. That's one thing that SeaWorld is known for, is all the flowing alcohol. I didn't buy because I had to drive 3 hours back home, so couldn't do that.
Right.
Responsible. Yeah,
so with Seven Seas Food Festival going on, there's a Polynesian fire dancing show going on inside Orca Encounter, which kind of weird. With Orca Encounter going on during the day, then at night it turns into a Polynesian stage where it's a very traditional kind of Polynesian show. Obviously, we're not in Hawaii,
I grew up on the SeaWorld Luau. They used to have, back in the 70s, SeaWorld Orlando had a luau And it was cheaper than going to the one at the Poly at Walt Disney World, because that's the
yes.
one. So that's the one my family went mm-hmm. to. So
and of course,
I got a soft yeah. spot for that.
And of course, my house fireworks. Great. SeaWorld is only allowed to yep. do 5-minute shows 129 times a year. You don't have to read into it. It's a whole legality thing with the California Coastal Commission.
Huh.
So it was nice to be able to see those fireworks from Orca Encounter, as well as in front of the park, the back of the park, where they shoot it off. And to let you know, these fireworks are grand. They're like Disney-style fireworks. They're very large fireworks. So if you're local to San Diego, you should definitely go down there, spend a weekend, see at Seven Seas Food Festival. Runs every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday through May 2nd. And fireworks are nightly through April 11th, and every Friday, Saturday, and through May 30th. So, yeah, that's pretty much all I got for SeaWorld. Fine. It was a little busy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we hope that you are staying healthy, visiting
yes.
all those parks. You don't have to throw any particular park under the bus or any mm-hmm. any person. But overall, do you feel like the parks that you visited have been operating safely, and are people around you cooperating as much as you'd like?
I'd say at Six Flags, they've been a higher face covering compliance, and I've totally didn't anticipate. Disney, Universal, hands-on, SeaWorld, it's hit or miss, but they're starting to kind of do better, which I really appreciate. So mm-hmm. California theme parks are definitely being much more responsible, because local and state government are forcing them to operate in these manners.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I think California theme parks are ready to come back to welcome everybody soon. Sometime. And yeah, it's just nice to come back, get outside, get some fresh air away mm-hmm. from everybody else.
Yes. Yeah. And to be in nature, the green rolling hills,
with
you know,
the blue rolling hills, and the,
and the yellow power blocks.
Nondescript video game environment.
In India.
No comment.
or whatever.
No comment.
well, I think that's all the questions that I had for Eric. I hope we get to see you in Orlando sometime soon, and I know you're looking forward to getting back to work. Mm-hmm. So good luck with that.
Thank you, and I'll be back in Orlando hopefully for Halloween Horror Nights 30. That's
oh yeah,
plan.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll come too.
Yes, Brittany. Well,
I'll be partying.
Listen, I don't like haunts, but I feel like it's going to be a thing, like a homecoming thing.
We will drag you through, like one person
cry.
On either side, kicking
or
and screaming.
Or we can visit you in Texas.
Yeah.
No, that would be even scarier than anyone else.
Yeah,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, I do want
maybe
to visit
wait
Zero
a little
San
bit.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do want to visit those parks out there, Six Flags and SeaWorld.
I haven't been to Six Flags, but I've been to SeaWorld a couple of times.
Ah, nice.
All right, it's a road trip.
Yes.
Yep, it's a road trip.
All right.
Thank you so much, Eric.
Of course.
Take care and stay safe.
Yes.
I will, and have a great week, everybody.
Happy Easter.
Thanks.
Happy Easter.
Yay.
That was great.
Yeah, I so weird. I wonder where he was.
I have no idea. It's mysterious.
No idea.
Well, it is exciting to hear about California reawakening.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot more news about parks reopening throughout April. So it's buckle up, because it's going to be, boy, just that open. Between the 16th, when Universal opens to the public, and the 30th, when Disneyland opens, it's going to be a wild ride.
Are we finally getting back to normal?
Oh,
is
well, I don't know if we're
normal?
ever going to be back to normal, but
right,
it's we're moving forward, and that's the important thing.
Yes, That is true. I do have some listener thank yous to share this week. In case you did not know, Attractions Magazine has a 4-tier subscription service. And if you pick club or VIP tiers, the week after you subscribe, you get a shout out on the podcast. So this week we give big applause and thanks to Austin Baker and Dave Montgomery. Thank you so much. Yay.
And this is my favorite part of the show, because I get to smoothly segue into just naked begging that, please, we need your stars. We need all 5 of your stars, and we need those stars on Apple Podcasts. Please leave a review. Please help spread the word and have the AI algorithms share the goodness of the Attractions Podcast with strangers that you really don't care about or know. And if you want to help continue sharing the good word, the gospel of Attractions Magazine, and more importantly, you want to find more of us on the interwebs. Me personally, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at S. Kuberski or at the UG Series. And you can pick up a copy of my books at theunofficialguides.com. And Brittany, where can people find you and the Attractions Magazine?
You can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny, on Twitter and Instagram, as well as every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractions magazine on Instagram, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you've been hanging out with us for the live show.
And we're so glad you did.
Yes. So, and it's Easter too. You guys picked us. Spend your Easter evening with.
I'm going to go have like my 7th deviled egg, I think.
I have Reese's eggs waiting for me after this.
Peanut butter ones. Oh, yes. Those are so good.
Yes. So good. And until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, wear your mask, get vaccinated if you can, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.